Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so we're 3 weeks deep into the NFL season right now.
We are.
How have your bets been doing? The BetQL app looks at every bet from every game and ranks them on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, with those 5-star bets being your best chance to cash in. Get started today. Download the BetQL app, or you can visit BetQL.com.
We now go live to Berea for Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper. This press conference brought to you by Nissan and North Homestead, I-90 Nissan in Sheffield Village, online at BigNissan.com.
You know, this is going to be a challenge for us.
You must have had some battles with Haywood back in the AFC West, huh?
Yeah, played against him, you know, twice a year when he was at the Chargers. So, yeah, he's a real competitive player who's been making a lot of plays over his course of time in the league. So,
do you get a book against a guy like that? You know, I'm sure he knows you as well as you know him, but do you feel like you have a little bit on him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go against a guy more than once or twice, you get a feel for how they play because they're going to be from, you know, who they are. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's always room for improvement and players do get better. And so that's why you continue to study them. But for the most part, they're pretty much who they are.
Amari, you've talked about the connection that you have been developing with Jacoby and how you guys communicate well. And it's obviously translating onto the field. So can you just talk about, I mean, like, what does Jacoby do well and why do you think you guys are connecting so well right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good leader. He takes command of the offense. He prepares well. He communicates extremely well throughout the course of the week. Just wanting clear understanding of, you know, how I look at some things, and he gives me clear understanding of how he looks at some things in regards to the routes that we have in and stuff like that. So, I mean, he really goes about his business the right way in terms of preparation.
Do you kind of not laugh, but do you raise your eyebrows a little bit when people just consider him to be a game manager, and do you feel like he's a lot more than that?
Well, because I haven't really heard anybody call him that. So.
Yeah. When you were with Cordero and with the Raiders, did you know he could potentially be a top whatever running back in this league?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of his best traits, you know, him having the ball in his hands. Like when he was at receiver, it was always, you know, try to get him screens and stuff like that, try to get the ball in his hands as quickly as possible so he could do something after the catch. And that's how he's always been since, you know, I've been watching him since junior college because one of my teammates at Bama, he used to play against him when they were both in junior college. I think Cordell was like a number one receiver and my teammate was like the number one corner in JUCO. So he put me on the Cordell when I was a young player. And I've been watching him ever since, and that's one thing that stuck with him. Like, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's going to make plays. So, I mean, obviously, when you're at running back, you know, you ain't getting the ball no quicker than that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, he's an exciting player to watch, for sure.
It's got to be a big transition. I mean, you take a lot. It feels like you take more hits, right? You get the ball more.
Yeah, but he's not small. He's big.
Yeah.
You have the urge to make that transition to the backfield?
Yeah, that was supposed to be my first position, but –
where, in college or high school?
No, like my very first position playing football, but it's a long story.
What, you can't get into it? Too long?
Huh?
Can you give us a condensed version?
Say it again.
A condensed version of how you almost were a running back?
I mean, like, before I started playing organized football, I used to play running back at my after-school program. But then I started playing organized football. My coach's son played running back.
There's an alternative timeline where you're an NFL running back.
Yeah, something like
so
that.
So don't sound like you were happy about it.
I digressed.
You've always been confident in Jacoby since we've talked to you from before the season, but do you see his confidence growing at all, the fact that he's had the success he's had the last couple of weeks?
I mean, obviously, when you play well, your confidence does grow, but I can't say that I get a sense that he didn't know he'd be playing good football, you know what I mean? Like, he's always been a confident player. Always has had a confident approach. So, I can't really say I've seen a change in his confidence, but because he's always been confident, you know.
I don't think you've ever played with a running attack like this, like we have here. What does it do for you as a number one receiver on the team to see Chubb and Hunt out there destroying defenses?
Yeah, I mean, they make my job easier. They make it a lot easier. I mean, in many ways, you know, those guys move the chains so much that it just gives us out wide more opportunities to make plays, like when our name is called. Because I mean, we're out there for more plays, and then obviously the defense. After a while, even if they don't come into the game, like honed in on the run game, eventually those with how hard those guys run. The defense has to change at some point and make stopping the run a focal point, and just opens up things outside for us.
All right, Amari Cooper speaking to the Browns media. I thought that was interesting, the line about thought he was going to be a running back at one point when he was a kid, and he played running back, and then he was kind of pressed on coming up with the answer, and he said, well, why weren't you running back? He was like, well, the coach's kid was a running back. I just thought that was hysterical and very real, right?
Ben Roethlisberger was a wide receiver until his senior year.
Because?
Coach's kid played quarterback.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just find it funny. I will say this, that I am ecstatic that, you know, after week one, that Brissett and Cooper have been able to find each other and just kind of, I mean, you're talking about, 21 targets over the last two games. He's been outstanding as far as being a go-to guy.
Guys, we now go live to Berea for Browns guard Joel Bitonio. Of course, press conference brought to you by Nissan and North Olmsted. I-90 Nissan in Sheffield Village, online at bignissan.com.
A pin and pull scheme, things like that nature. And I think Coach Stefanski, Coach Callahan do a great job of putting together a game plan each week. And Coach Mitch, to really, highlight the strengths of our offense and the weakness of the defense. But it's a week-to-week thing. You know, we have our core plays in every week, but we always do have a little bit of flair each week we go out there.
Joel, what's the matchup against Grady Jarrett? Like, he's one of the best.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's kind of the heartbeat of their defense right now. And, I mean, you watch the tape, he really does jump off.
All right, there you had Joel Bitonio. Obviously, some technical difficulties. I want to go back to Cooper, and we can talk about the offensive line because I don't think that they're getting the credit they deserve, especially when you look at the number of sacks they.
Do they ever?
Yeah, I look at what they've done, and we're just not really talking about them.
Without Jack Conklin, for the first two games,
right?
Credit to James Hudson for filling in nicely.
I look at that offensive line and I'm like, they're keeping this guy upright and that's what's important. And he's not throwing interceptions. And, that's one of the reasons for success. I do want to ask this though, Jeff. I don't want to say fool's gold, but the three teams they played so far are 1-2. The team they play on Sunday is 1-2. They're not playing, the upper echelon of the NFL right now. And is that a concern, consideration, or just, hey, this is who's on the schedule, they got to play him?
Oh, it's a thought. Except there they are. This is this week's game. Better go win it. The thing that's impressed me about Amari Cooper so far, and it's a very short sample size, but we talked about this in the offseason. Throughout his career, you'd see kind of a nondescript game. 12 catches, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And I was hoping that we'd see a more consistent productivity level, I guess. More consistent productivity level. And we wondered at the time, and you know, not being in Dallas, not being with the Raiders, was it scheme? What was going on in those games? Are opposing defenses completely trying to take him out of it? We didn't know. So there were other factors involved. But his career has been littered with those huge games and then a lot of games where it was like, boy, he wasn't much of a factor. And I was hoping we'd see it on a more consistent basis. It's only been 2 games, but we've seen it the last 2 games. And you know, if you're a team and you're going up against the Browns, you're not going up against any other wide receiver. They're not going to concern you as much. In fact, hardly at all in comparison, at least at this point. And he's been really good the last 2 games. And that first game against Carolina, if it weren't for some of the pass interference penalties, he'd have put up a lot better numbers. So I think he's been really a real nice, not just addition, but obviously, Andy, a guy who you know you can count on to be your guy, at least in the short sample size that we've had, 3 games.
Are you, I don't know if it's a fair question or not, but are you more impressed with the fact that Cooper's looking at what, back-to-back 101-yard games? Or the fact that, and I'm just wondering, which catches your eye more, the fact that Cooper's been so effective or the fact that Donovan Peoples-Jones has been silent in the last 2 games, especially knowing that he's your number 2 receiver. But if you ask me who the number 2 receiver was against the Steelers, it was David Njoku.
Yeah, the thing that catches my eye more than anything, Andy, is that no other wide receiver has done anything. You know, in the first game, Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think, had 6 catches for 60 yards. And yes, Njoku's part of the passing game. I'm just specifically looking at the wide receiver position. Yes, other guys catch balls, which make them a receiver, but they're also called running backs and tight ends. But the other wide receivers just haven't been there yet. Maybe by design. You know, Browns have the number 1 rushing game in the NFL. Maybe they haven't needed those.
Yeah, I think that's part of the point, don't you?
That you know it's been Cooper and that he's still been effective, that's telling. You know what I mean? I mean, he's the guy you want to slow down, and teams haven't the last 2 games. Jets didn't do it. Steelers didn't do it.
Well, I think that takes us back to the playing teams that are 1-2 right now.
Well.
And then you wonder, okay, because I'm
not going to make excuses for wins.
No, but and we know that, and look, I'm not taking any game for granted, but the Chargers game is going to be super interesting, right? I mean, that's a full-blown, I'm not saying full-blown. They're a team expected to do things this season. Fair? More expected to do more than any of the teams that we look at in the first 4 games. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure. All right. So listen, we'll maybe head back over to Bree if we have any more press conferences. Daryl Ryder is going to join us at noon. Is anyone looking at that the same way I am? Anyone looking? All right. They're playing good football, but man, these teams are beating their 1-2 right now. All 3 of them. Is that a concern? 216-578-0092 or on Twitter at CLE Talking Heads Baskin and Phelps. Baskin and Phelps. Let's head back out to Berea. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is speaking.
Hey, I kind of feel what you're saying there too, because he is you know, similar type of quarterback. But of course, you know, you can't compare the two. But similar game plans in reference to spies and things like that. But you know, it's always a situation where we come into the game with similar game plans, depending on the different offenses. It's more so the scheme, not necessarily the key so much in the personnel, but. Yeah.
Jeremiah, it's not necessarily your position, but what's it like to go against Amari Cooper every single day of practice, and how does he make the defense better?
Oh, well, again, he's a very, he's a veteran, so he has a lot of experience, so he helps us in reference to some of the things he sees in the schemes, whether it's actually watching the quarterback instead of trying to follow the route, getting into certain windows like he does, being able to do a lot of double moves and to really bring a different aspect of the game. So, I mean, from a mental standpoint, he's brought a lot to us.
Jeremiah, going against Patterson, I know several of the defensive guys talked about the challenges going against a guy with that size who's obviously so versatile that he's able to make a position change.
Yeah, no, that's like you said it well. I mean, he's a versatile guy. He's able to put his foot down and hit those gaps, tough to tackle. You know, he's had a little bit of experience so far, and he's done well. So we're looking to see or how we can slow that down.
You're obviously familiar with Drake London from college. Just what separates him? What makes him so special?
Well, it's the same. I mean, I don't want to speak too much on it, but like, he's a great player. You know, so again, every great player, we must try to find their strengths and their weaknesses and try to see what we can do to, you know, slow those down again.
Yeah. Mariota seems to be able to pull that ball out of the running back's hands at the last minute. Is that the key to making that play work, RPO?
Yeah, I think so. I think patience in the RPO and using your IQ is very essential in those RPOs. I mean, he does a good job of it, whether it's being patient to see who's going to cut down, who's going to stay in the coverage. So he's done a great job with it, and I think that's one of his best aspects of the game, is the RPO.
How good was it to see Miles back today, and did you get to talk to him at all?
Yeah, I've talked to him. It's this same guy, you know. But, it's a phenomenal experience to be able to see that situation, but then to also see him come back with not that many injuries. And it's always a blessing, you know. Yeah, it's always a blessing. Yeah.
What's the size of the players that you guys are going to be up against, you know, Patterson and some of those guys? How does that impact how you approach this game?
Well, I think it's the same thing, kind of like with every type of defense, or, you know, when they see an offense with a similar size. We have size as well, you know, relative to our length and how our speed is and the things that we can do. So, again, I mean, it's about the technique, of course. It's about tackling, wrapping up, getting the body part. Making sure that you're not too fast or too slow to the play. So, again, it's a balance, and those are things that we look to execute on. So,
any real changes for you, Jeremiah, with Jacob taking over in the middle?
No real changes. I think, you know, Jacob is well equipped for the position. Is able to communicate correctly and well, and we'll see, you know, what he puts and what he brings to the table, which I think will be phenomenal.
Greg, I know, talked about you guys have multiple people out, like not trying to do too much, not trying to be a hero, just playing a role. I guess for you guys as players, is that like challenging to remember that when you're out there?
Say it again.
Like not trying to make up for guys who are out, you know, like, and play a hero essentially?
Yeah, I don't think you really think about it when you get out there. You know, of course, you know, during the week, you're kind of like, all right, is this person playing or is that person playing? But when you get in the game, you know, we all have a responsibility. We all have a job, and that's what we're really focused on at that time.
So you're going to be able to wear the sticker of Ghana at this game?
Yeah, the ability to uphold, Ghana and what it represents for me. The great quote from Kwame Nkrumah is, you know, I'm not necessarily an African because I was born in Africa, but because Africa was born in me. And that's very, you know, essential when we talk about the ideology and the mindset of those coming from the land to uphold that national title. So, yeah.
Seems kind of rare in football for you to be able to make that statement this way.
Yeah, it is kind of, I wouldn't say it's too rare, but it is kind of a situation where it's like you don't see so much of people wearing like another nation's flags. So I think it's a great responsibility, and I think I'm really appreciative of it, and I give thanks to the Almighty, especially for allowing me to be in this predicament to represent that type of player, you know, so. All right.
Jeff and I were just talking to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, speaking to the media, and they were just saying that players are going to be wearing, the flags of their?
Flags of the country of their origin.
Oh, okay. That'll be this week?
I do believe it is, yeah.
Yeah, did you see the salute to service stuff that was out earlier this week? That helmet that says Browns on it.
Oh, I did see that.
That was interesting. Yeah. I thought it was.
Yeah.
I like the fact they do the salute to service stuff all the time too.
And never hurts to float a new concept. You know what that might mean. By the way, what would I do? My family heritage is Irish, Scottish, British.
Put them all on there.
It's and different. Dutch.
Yeah, put them all.
Am I going to have four? I mean, like, I'm a mutt. Am I going to have four flags?
I don't even. Like, we're four different countries, too. One, two.
It's a lot of flags three. On my helmet right there.
I don't know. I would just have. I have no idea. How about just put stars and stripes on the back? I'm good.
There you go.
Jeff, I do want to bring this up because I know we only have a minute or two here before we get to Daryl Ryder. Dan, do you want to explain to Jeff one of the most ridiculous statements you've ever made?
Wow.
It's right up there. It is right up there.
All right, so this came down yesterday, or at least we saw it yesterday. So TCL, which is a television company, they make, you know, various television, smart TVs, all that kind of stuff, has made a 98-inch television. 98 inches.
Yep.
What's that for? Your driveway?
Is it? That's kind of what I thought. Like, I was always in the thought process that there's no such thing as a television that is too big.
That is correct.
Until I saw 98 inches, and I'm like, oh, maybe we're towing that line.
Where do you put that in the house? Seriously, where do you put that?
Trying to think how
the backyard? I don't know, because you need a lot of space to be able to catch every angle of that thing.
I know a lot of people put the TV above the thing now is above the mantle, if you have a mantle in your house.
Yeah.
And I always thought, well, that's uncomfortable because you're going to be sitting there watching television with your head, you know, cranked straight back. If that's above the mantle in your house, your head is straight back and you're having to turn your head from side to side.
That's a little bit over 8 feet, right? It's an 8 foot television.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a room with 12 foot ceilings, I don't think it's that big a deal if you can find the wall that you can put it on, right?
Well, we'll send one right over.
I'll be happy to demo it. I think we have one room that we might be able to do that in. I just don't think there's
coming right over.
I don't think there's such thing as a television that's too big. I mean, people go to the movies and sit in their car and watch it at a drive-in. I mean, that
from
their car,
50 yards away,
and a good distance. You need distance with this. And
this big screen is 5 feet in front of me. I no longer know my name.
So you're saying if someone offered you a 98-inch television,
that's a
you
different
would say
story.
No. I'm asking Menigan this.
Yeah, and I'm gonna sell it on eBay. Thanks.
You wouldn't keep a 98-inch television?
Come on, Andy.
Come on, Jeff. People live for this stuff.
Good.
I don't think there's such thing. If you could do, I mean, if you buy a projector, okay?
Yeah, bad quality.
Depends on the brand. You're assuming all of them are bad?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. What I'm saying is if you buy a projector, can't you have a 90? I mean, if you've got a 12-foot wall.
Okay, fine.
So you can go even bigger. Why, you know, my question is, why would you buy a 98-inch television when you could just buy a projector and you could have it be any screen, any size you want it to be?
Quality's not as good, right?
I don't necessarily know that to be true. It depends on the projector. How much was it? $8,000? Almost nine? Somewhere $8,500?
Yeah, you've got it in front of you.
$8,500. Yeah, there it is. I don't know. I don't think that there's any. I don't think that there's a television that can be too big. If you were, I mean, if you owned a bar, would you not want to buy it? Would you buy that?
I don't own a bar.
And I wasn't looking at it through that regard. Like, yes, if you were going to a bar or a sports book or something along
that'd
those
be great.
Lines, yes,
yeah.
A TV that big is fine. But for home usage,
I'm sure there are bigger than 8 foot screens in some sports bars. I'm sure there are. Like, but when you said, "Oh, that's just too big,"
I was thinking
I'm
more
like,
of a
come
home.
On, man.
He's got it sitting in his home. He's walking around the corner, and it's scaring him.
I mean, if you have a theater, how big is the screen in your home theater? I'm not saying that. Trust me, we don't have one.
I'm Andy Baskin for home theaters.
We all would love a home theater in our homes, Andy. We would dream of such things. Some of us don't have that. Some of us have normal size houses.
I know,
that a
and this is where this
television would be.
But does a 96 inch television give you the opportunity to create your own home theater?
Well, Andy,
more
you
realistic
can create
than
anything
to,
you want if you want to write the check.
Well, I'm just saying, isn't that more realistically and I mean, a little bit easier economically? Now, I'm not saying I'm dropping $8,000 on a TV anytime these days, especially when you can get a really nice one for like $200.
I'm hoping to build that room in my house where I can protect my lottery winnings. That's what I want to do.
Done with you guys.
And I can call you like on your birthday. Hi, Andy. Happy birthday.
All right, so we've just determined that Jeff Phelps and Dan Menigan don't like television, which is fine. Daryl Ryder, he will join us next right here on 92.3 The Fan. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on in Berea.
And the 8-foot televisions.
And, we got to ask him about the podcast. He had a little trouble.
Gee, there's a stunner.
Well, back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.